I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, just in time for the June wedding season, should the government be doing more than just giving licenses for marriage? Should it also be encouraging it? And novelist Terry McMillan's essay on the breakup of her marriage. But first, the Senate is trying to revive a compromise immigration bill this week. Iraq is only a side note to this debate, but it's a reminder that the U.S. has granted asylum to just over 500 Iraqis since the start of the war. The U.S. promises to take in 7,000 more Iraqis this year, but that's still far fewer than Sweden, which has opened its doors to more Iraqi refugees than any other Western country. We wanted to know more about the Swedish philosophy on immigration, so we're pleased to have with us Tobias Billström, Sweden's Minister for Migration and Asylum Policy. He joins us by phone from Stockholm. Mr. Billström, welcome.
Thank you. It's nice to be with you.
How many Iraqi refugees has Sweden welcomed overall?
Well, overall, of course, we started to take Iraqi refugees already during the 80s. So the approximate number right now is between 80 to 100,000. But last year, we accepted approximately 9,000 Iraqis, and the prognosis for this year is 20,000 Iraqis and as many for the next year as well.
You mean as many as 20,000 in the coming year? So that would be about 50,000 more people just in the next 2 years. Is that about right?
Exactly, and we are not thinking of lowering that prognosis. On the contrary, with the development being as it is in Iraq, it's probably likely to expand.
And why is that?
Well, I mean, there are several reasons. One is Iraqis are coming to Sweden because they have a lot of relatives here. Another reason is, of course, we have a practice which differs from the rest of Europe and altogether the rest of the Western world. And I think these two combinations are the reasons.
What are those practices?
It's clear that we have tried to be quite generous when it comes to giving people a residence permit.
It's my understanding that Swedish law grants asylum to anyone who needs protection from torture, the death penalty, or armed conflict, and that would also include spouses, children, as well as some other close relatives in certain circumstances. Is that about right?
So the law says. I would like to underline, though, that there is no automacy in the Swedish system. Every case is tried on its individual merits, and you cannot just turn up and say, hello, I'm an asylum seeker, even if you come from Iraq, and be granted asylum. You have to go through the migration courts of Sweden.
In this country, some, including members of Congress, are starting to say that the United States is not accepting enough refugees from Iraq, particularly given the U.S. role in the conflict there. And one of the responses has been, and the concerns has been, that there's a fear of mistakenly granting asylum to possible militants or possible extremists who would then use the refugee community as a base of operations. Is there any concern about that in Sweden?
No, I have to say that we haven't seen anything like that at all. Of course, you can never guarantee that people don't turn fundamentalists. We have seen a lot of cases, particularly in many countries, when it comes to that. But I would like to underline that we are cooperating very closely with the UNHCR, the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees, and we encourage, from the point of the Swedish government, all countries to step up their quotas, to increase the quotas given to the UNHCR in order to resettle the most vulnerable cases out of Iraq.
Do you have some sort of a well-settled process for assimilating and acculturating your newcomers?
Yes, definitely. We have introduction courses which starts from basically day one when you arrive as an asylum seeker and which you go through while you're waiting for your trial to be made. We, of course, this government constantly trying to encourage people to get a job while they are waiting, in order for them to feel more, how should I say, more empowered, if I use that word.
And they're allowed to work. Asylum seekers are permitted to work?
If you think that that case is going to take more than 4 months, they are given a work permit while they're waiting, yes.
Well, because that's certainly a difference from Syria, for example, where I think over 100,000 Iraqis have gone. And one of the issues there is that they're not permitted to work openly. And I see that that's very different.
Yes, I have myself visited quite recently in April both Syria and Jordan and seen the efforts that these two countries are doing in order to provide Iraqis with, safety and shelter.
Do the Swedish people feel that a strain is being placed on them by this policy of openness?
Sweden has a long-standing record of trying to offer a safe haven for people who are prosecuted and pursued in their countries of origin for their beliefs or because of war. And we intend to keep it that way.
And what is your vision in the long run? Do you believe the people who are now coming to Sweden from Iraq, is your vision that they will stay and become Swedish citizens at some point? Do you think that they will leave? What do you think?
Well, for some who come to Sweden, citizenship will probably be one opportunity. I would like to point to the fact that both the Iraqi government as well as UNHCR believe that people have to go back, because those who have left are the teachers, the nurses, the engineers, the academics, all the people who are needed to rebuild Iraq from the foundations again. Sweden has also put up a system that will give economic subsidies to people who have their asylum application turned down in order to get them reintegrated in the Iraqi society if they go back.
Has anyone been turned down so far?
Yes, of course. We have people who are turned down at the courts because every case is trial on its individual merits. And there are people who come from Iraq, but who come from parts of Iraq where you cannot consider the case to be so serious that they should be offered asylum.
And have people gone back to Iraq?
You have people who have gone back to Iraq, especially to the northern parts, where it's, relatively calm. But, of course, there's a big difference between Kirkuk and Baghdad.
You said at the beginning of our conversation that there have been Iraqis coming to Sweden for quite some time, really since the first war over a dozen years ago. How is that early community faring? Are there people who are now consider themselves part of Sweden, or is their vision still to go back? Are there, for example, any members of parliament or any members of the government who have roots in Iraq or are now members of municipal leadership or anything of that sort?
Well, when it comes to the last point, there is definitely people from Iraq who have positions in the Swedish society and who have become integrated and who have companies and so on in Sweden. But it's important to underline, of course, that we have accepted people from Iraq all the way back to the 70s, mainly the Kurdish population. But some people do go back still to visit their relatives and to start companies in the north parts of Iraq. And I've heard that in some cities, Swedish is actually, if not the first, then at least the second language.
Well, that must be very interesting. Minister, thank you.
No problem at all. Thank you very much for inviting me.
Tobias Billström is the Swedish Minister for Migration and Asylum Policy. He joined us by phone from Stockholm.